हरे कृष्णा। डोंट जस्ट फाइट द माइंड, फाइट टू गेट द माइंड टू फाइट फॉर यू। ऑफन व्हेन वी प्रैक्टिस स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ और इवन व्हेन वी बिकम इंट्रोस्पेक्टिव इन जनरल, वी कैन अंडरस्टैंड दैट देयर इज सम फोर्स विद इन अस व्हिच एक्ट्स अगेंस्ट आवर बेस्ट इंटरेस्ट, व्हिच मेक्स अस एक्ट इंपल्सिवली, सी दिस, वॉच दिस, टच दिस, बाय दिस। And if we understand the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, we understand that this is actually the mind. And when we understand it is the mind which is making us act in self-destructive ways, we may start treating the mind as an enemy. And we feel, I have to fight against the mind. Yes, at one level, we do have to fight against the mind. And the Bhagavad Gita does refer to the mind as the enemy. But in 6.6, for example, in the Gita, it is said that that bandhuratmaatmanastasya yenaatmaivaatmanajitaha anatmanastu shatrutve varte taatmaiva shatruvat. So he says bandhur, the bandhu is friend, bandhuratmaatmanastasya, that the mind is the friend for those yenaatmaivaatmanajitaha, for those who control the mind, anatmanastu shatrutve, but for those who have not controlled it, it is the enemy. Vartet atmaiva shatruva, that remains the enemy of the self. So the Gita does acknowledge that the mind is our enemy right now. But it also says that the mind can become our friend. And the purpose of spiritual practice, the purpose of dealing with the mind is not to destroy the mind. It is to convert the mind from our enemy to our friend. And that's why while we are functioning in life, we need to observe the mind. And if we treat it as the enemy, then there will be constant hostility within us. You know, okay, the mind wants this. No, I should not be doing this. And then this constant hostility will be exhausting. And the Bhagavad Gita actually tells us that, yes, there are forces within the mind which make the mind act against us. But at the same time, the mind is something which we have to live with throughout our life. As long as we are in this world, we need the mind for the soul to function in this world. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita also talks about something called Swabhava. That Swabhava jena kaunteya nibaddha svena karmana. That all of us are bound to act according to our Swabhava. It says in 18.60. So now what is the Swabhava? Our own nature. Now where is this nature situated? This nature, when Krishna is talking about it, Krishna is telling Arjuna that you are the Kshatriya nature. The Kshatriya nature is not situated in the soul. It is actually situated in the body and primarily in the mind. So the body is actually having a particular, Kshatriyas have a particular kind of physique, but primarily it is situated in the mind. So essentially, it is the mind that has to be regulated. And what it means is, Krishna is saying that we cannot just reject the mind. That is your swabhava, and you have to channel the swabhava accordingly. So while dealing with the mind, we can say analyze the mind into one circle, and we can analyze our long term interests, our spiritual interests, our material long term interests into another circle. What is conducive for our well being, and what is the interest of the mind? And we will find that something within what is the interest of the mind and what is conducive for our well being, there is an intersection. And there is something which is violently not intersecting. Something of some interests, some desire, some cravings of the mind can be disastrous for us. So those are what we need to rigidly combat. But by understanding our own mind's nature and using that part of the mind's nature which is engageable in positive constructive activity, then we can learn to befriend it. It's like, say, If in a nation, a citizen from a deprived area has become a terrorist, has become insurgent. Now the army can very well kill that person, but you know, that person has become an insurgent, and the purpose is our own citizen. It's best to deal with him in an understanding way and convert him. Let him become a faithful citizen. So like that, what we need to do is, if the mind is misleading us towards dangerous things, we have to stop it. We have to fight it, and we have to, by the practice of bhakti, purify ourselves of those desires. But whatever is channelizable within the process of bhakti, that we need to channelize. And that way, when we observe the mind objectively, not inimically. Inimically means we see the whole mind is my enemy. But instead we see it objectively. Okay, now this part of the mind is dangerous. I have to fight against it. Yeah, but this part of the mind is totalable. Then that way, we can make the mind our friend. And as the mind gets engaged in Krishna's service, then the mind says, actually I wanted happiness and the things which I was thinking are giving me happiness, they don't really give much happiness. But this practice of bhakti, it is giving me peace, it is giving me joy. Let me do this more and more. And this way the mind will become our friend. So we have to fight definitely, but our fight is not primarily against the mind. Our fight is against the hostile forces which have influenced the mind, and we have to drive out those forces, and we have to fight to make the mind our friend. And Krishna says, when the mind becomes our friend, when it starts working with us, jitatmanah prashantasya paramatma samahita shitosha sukha dukkeshu tatha mana apamanayo. Krishna says, when the mind has harmonized with us, then it's like we have reached God, paramatma samahita. The mind obscures our spiritual perception when it is distracted, but when it is purified, it facilitates our spiritual perfection and we reach God. And all the worldly ups and downs can no longer disturb us. So with this pragmatic attitude, when we deal with the mind, then we can combat its hostile elements and also engage its positive elements and thus move towards changing it from an enemy to a friend. Hare Krishna. Thank you.